I need a mic. It's a great day. My car said 67, and then I pulled up to the church, and it said 78. So I want to trust my car. It feels a little cooler. It's great. So please turn off your cell phones and get in a reflective mood, and Diane will play our prelude. Thank you. Thank you so much, Diane. It was kind of an exciting week this week for Amber. Where'd she go? She went in a hot air balloon. Uh-huh. Yes. How many miles did you go?
We went from Lake Cedar Park to
At 6. Oh. It was on her bucket list. How many people have a bucket list? Oh, a lot of people. Mom, you have a bucket list? That's good. Please sign your friendship sheets and send them back to the center aisle. And if there's anybody you haven't met before, say hi. Let's see, the kids are leaving today. Catherine's got her hair done. I love it. It's going to be hot down there. I talked to Annette this week, our preschool teacher, our director. There's 9 openings in the pre-K class. So if you know any little kiddos that are pre-K age that need a preschool, please direct them to our church because we need to fill up our openings. We have a few openings left in the 3-4 and the 2.5 class also. So it would help their program to be full. I know with the economic times, it's a little bit tough, but talk it up. There will be no worship and wonder today. I don't know if there's any children here today. My kids are in Salt Lake. And Reverend Cynthia is going on vacation. Yay. Get some rest. And the group will be leading today, which you'll be talking about. And the Boy Scout Troop 13 got home, back from Camp Buffalo Bill, safely. They had 2 adults and 19 scouts. It's pretty awesome. Took 3 Suburbans to get them there and back. Is there any other announcements? Nope. Okay, Tom, you're up.
Thank you. You know, I may offer a suggestion as to why it was a little warmer here, is there's a lot going on. And usually warmth's associated with friction, none of that happening. Okay, just a lot of work and thought and brain power in the church. And as you all know by now, or might know, that from an article in the Call this week, in the insert in your bulletin this morning, we're here to announce the start of a capital campaign. The capital campaign for the much needed maintenance and repair of our church facility. Those projects have been classified in four phases, and they are, as it's printed here, the parking lot, the roof replacement, and the wall stabilization. The wall stabilization is this wall right outside as you walk up the sidewalk to the front doors. That's the area we're talking about. And the fourth project is windows. Okay? I'm here to ask for your trust. I'm here to tell you that there's been hundreds and hundreds of hours put into identifying the needs and to coming up with a method to not only do the projects, but when to do them and how to do them and how to pay for them, okay? The Stewardship Commission, property, specifically Cal Decker, has identified all the work to be done. He came to the Stewardship Commission and said, here's what we need. This is about as cheap as we can do it, and we need to do it now. We have leaks in the roof. We have water getting to the foundation of the church through the parking lot and through this wall. Through the windows, there are some windows that leak in this church. Hey, we're not here on Wednesday after a big snowstorm or a rainstorm, so we don't necessarily see the leaks that come in through the windows. We have that going on, so we're going to attack that. We have hard bids. Property has hard bids for the amount of $180,000. There's such a wonderful news there that half of that is already available. Stewardship has gone through with Larry Winter's help and Ann Clocksheim and I can name them all that have studied our wills and trust and memorial gifts, and to actually go back some of those documents we hadn't looked at for years. The money's sound, it's safe, it's been invested. We didn't know what it was for, so we went back and identified some gifts that we could use for this project because they were for the upkeep of the church. And so we have $90,000 to contribute to this project. We're asking you, the congregation, to match that amount. Okay? Pretty sizable sum, but we need, the work needs to be done. We think the integrity of the building structure itself is still very good, but the longer we put off these projects, the worse it could be, and we could get into maybe a catastrophic situation. So we're extremely positive about being able to do this. A couple of things that are going to happen is you'll all receive a letter in the mail. You'll hear about it today. You'll receive a letter in the mail, and then for four consecutive Sundays, we will talk about it, give more detail. Cal Decker will be here next Sunday, and between the Sunday school hour, or the first 8 o'clock service and the 10:10 service, though he'll be available downstairs. We'll have a slide presentation. I say slides, that dates me. We'll have pictures of areas that we've identified as being bad. You'll actually see them. Cal will ask or answer specific questions about the scope of work, who's doing the work, how it's going to be done, and we have chosen to do this now, this year. We anticipate the work will be done maybe by the middle of October. The paving will be done at the end of August, be a short period of time, 2 or 3 day project. What we're really excited about, you need to know this, is associated with the paving is a 4 foot concrete slab that will go around the foundation of the building to protect the building against seepage that's been going on. We'll have better drainage. It's just really exciting. Our building's going to be nice. Visit the Boy Scout room downstairs and see the work that Cal Decker's done, and you'll see that he has this church in his heart. We had planned to show some pictures today, and that's not going to happen.
They're up there.
Are they up here? What I meant to say is we're showing pictures as I speak of some of the damaged areas. There's only a few of them, but there's so after church, if you during the coffee hour, I'll be downstairs. Members of the of our team will be downstairs to answer any questions that you may have. We can't get too technical on the actual work, but we can talk as much as you want about the financing of the project, and we're just really excited. We understand that part of our we have an older congregation, and that we may in fact be on limited incomes. But what I'm asking for is whatever you can do, $1, $10, $100. $1,000, and we're going to ask that it not be done in payments. We're going to ask that we receive the money by September 30th, okay? We're going to have to pay for all this when it's done. So I hope you get on board with this and smile. This is a good, good project, a good time to do it. And if you have some questions, come downstairs, and I'll be down there with the other members of our team to be able to answer those. So, thank you.
Thanks, Tom. I also forgot to say that Thursday, Godly Girlfriends came. Mike Ward and I took windows down from the foyer, the Bible room, the boardroom, the inner room. Took the windows down. The Godly Girlfriends came, washed windows while Michelle kind of cleaned up the windowsills, and I went along and painted polyurethane around. That hadn't been done for, I think, since the windows put in 17 years or so. So I'm doing, and the rest of us are doing little things in here, and Cal's doing the big things. Yay. So thanks a lot for all the help and the committees and the people that worked on them. So, opening hymn, Oh How I Love Jesus, hymn 99. First, go ahead and stand up and greet each other, and then we'll start our hymn.
Hi, and good morning. Well, as I say, I used to play every single day.
but maybe soon. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see.
As always.
Thank you.
At least I don't have to do prayers of the people today.
Oh, gosh, that's yeah. That's a big one, because you have to remember everything right on your past.
Yes.
Well, should I start it?
One second.
Okay.
Yep. Now the call to worship. Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. Lord, as we search now, let us find you.
As we knock, open the door to us.
Let us know you, that we may praise you.
And love you,
that we may serve you." I love this book. It's on prayer. And since today our sermon is on prayer, I found they have prayers from people from 400 years ago on up. And I love looking through this book and picking out prayers that fit our sermons and how we're feeling that day. And I found this one. Let us pray. Enable me, O God, to collect and compose my thoughts before an immediate approach to you in prayer. May I be careful to have my mind in order when I take upon myself the honor to speak to the sovereign Lord of the universe, remembering that upon the temper of my soul depends, in very good measure, my success. You are infinitely too great to be trifled with, too wise to be imposed on by a mock devotion, and abhor a sacrifice without a heart. Help me to entertain an habitual sense of your perfections as an admirable help against cold and formal performances. Save me from engaging in rash and precipitate prayers and from abrupt breaking away to follow business or pleasure as though I had never prayed. And now the prayer that he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please turn in your hymnal to page 354 for a hymn of prayer. We'll sing together, "Seek Ye First." I'm going to ask our youth to come forward for a prayer of commissioning before they head out to the national youth event, and we'll have our sponsors, Carmen and Laura, as well. Now, is Rebecca going to?
Yes.
Okay.
She is down in Cheyenne.
Okay, so she's kind of meeting you on the way.
Yes.
Great. The kids are bringing forward for us a banner that they have made that they are taking with them. They will be traveling to the National Youth Event, and all of the youth were instructed to bring a banner to advertise their group. And our group made prayer flags modeled on the idea of Tibetan prayer flags, and each flag has a message on it. You can see one in the middle says Wyoming, and it's got the Wyoming brown colors around it. We're going to display these maybe just on the front of the table, and that way after worship, people can come and see them. Let's see if we can figure out a way without catching them on fire to drape them around the candles. Those are just beautiful. You all did such a great job. There will be about 4,000 youth from the United Church of Christ and Disciples of Christ gathering together in Orlando. Now, you all leave tomorrow afternoon about 3 o'clock, right? You load up the church van, whoosh, head down to Denver, have a nice supper, relax, visit, say, ooh, we're in Denver, it's so cool. And then your sponsors are going to say you have to go to sleep. And you will remember how early your flight is Tuesday morning, and you will go to sleep. And then you'll get up bright and early and head to the airport and fly to Florida. What time do you all arrive in Orlando? Do you know? Do you remember?
12:30.
Noon. Yeah. Okay. So it's a quick day's travel, straight flight from Denver to Orlando. And then the National Youth Event begins Tuesday evening, centered around the theme, Believe. I think most of the folks in the congregation know our youth, but they might not. So let me have you introduce yourselves. If you would share your name and one thing you're excited about this trip.
This is a great group of young ladies, and I know that they are going to all represent First Christian Church and the Central Rocky Mountain region very well.
I'm Carmen Goodman, and I am most excited about spiritual growth for all of us, and just so we can come closer to God and our religion and everything else.
And also joining the group is Joe and Lyle Cox's granddaughter, Rebecca. So we will have six youth and two adults traveling to Florida. I'm going to ask you all to stand down here and form a circle and join hands with each other. And we are going to have a special prayer of commissioning to ask for safe travels and blessing upon our youth group. Would you all pray with me, please? Loving and gracious God, we are so thankful for these young people, for these young women, for their enthusiasm in knowing you, for their willingness to travel far from home, for their excitement in meeting new friends and sharing with each other the adventure of the National Youth Event. God, we pray for Carmen and Laura as they chaperone these young people. We ask your spirit to watch over them the entire time that they travel, that they might arrive and return safely. And we pray that during their time in Florida, God, they will know you in powerful and tangible ways and come home with stories to share. We ask that you bless us as the church, that their excitement would be infectious, and we will share your love and your joy through all that they learn. Bless our young people, and bless all those traveling from across the country and even around the world to share at the National Youth Event. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you all for being here. On the back of your bulletin, you'll find a list of prayer concerns of the congregation. Obviously, we want to be praying for our youth throughout the week. There's a sheet posted on the bulletin board outside of the office that details their travel plans, their schedule, the theme for every day. You can also follow along online if you Google National Youth Event, or if you go to the unitedchurchofchrist.org. There are links that talk about the speakers that are coming and all the youth will be doing. So our prayers are with you, not just this morning, but throughout this adventure. The lovely flowers at the front of the sanctuary are in memory of Todd Shaw's dad, Melvin. His service was held yesterday afternoon at Bustard's. Prayers of comfort for Todd, his sisters, Tanya and Terry, his wife, Alethea, and all of Mel's grandchildren and great-grandchildren. We received word this morning that some folks from the first service visited with June Bredemeyer, and she is doing well. She's in good spirits. She has a hard time walking, so she doesn't get out much, but she seems to be healthy and happy as much as possible for her age, and we rejoice with that news. We continue to pray for Dave Foster. Becky shares that he's not yet been to Denver to meet with the neurologist. The way the system works is they have to wait for the doctor to call. So they are waiting, so we pray for patience during the time of waiting. Janet Field suffered a compression fracture during a fall earlier this summer. Prayers of healing for her. Kathy Malloy will turn 80 on Tuesday. She's been having some back pain. It was a really hard week, but today is a good day. And she was at chapel this morning, so we rejoice for that. Gene Buck also had a death in his family. Prayers of comfort for them. And we continue to pray with Debbie Mestis for a friend of hers, Shelley, who is struggling with multiple issues. Dorothy Smith will be moving soon. If you've ever visited Dorothy's home, she lives kind of back behind Albertsons and the Baptist Church, and she has stairs that start at the street and go halfway to heaven before you get to her front door. And Dorothy's in an age where she shouldn't be doing one or two steps, let alone climbing Jacob's ladder. So she will be moving soon to a one-level, smaller house near Jan and Dewey, her son. And so we rejoice with Dorothy. She seems very excited about this change, but moves are stressful, especially if you have an entire shed filled with yarn you have to give away. So prayers for Dorothy and family. Dewey Smith shared that a coworker named Tony lost his wife this week. She passed away, and he's asked for comfort for Tony. The missionary we're lifting up this morning is Tom Little, who serves in East Timor. There are wildfires burning across the Mountain West, including several fires in Wyoming. There's a bad one north of or near Ten Sleep. The road keeps being closed off and on. The fire between Pinedale and Jackson has had that road closed at different times. I'm headed this afternoon to Ring Lake Ranch for a week's retreat and continuing education. There's a group of Casper pastors traveling together, and we've received news from the director at Ring Lake Ranch that there's a lot of smoke in the valley there because of the fires in the area. There's also fire outside of Du Bois. So prayers for all of the firefighters and for communities affected by those fires. Our regional prayer partners today are the members of Village Christian Church in Colorado Springs. There's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary you're encouraged to sign. You may recall that in the last year, their previous pastor, David Woods, committed suicide. It is still a difficult time for that congregation to deal with such a tragic loss. Their interim minister, Philip Hayes, is very experienced and is doing an excellent job helping the congregation move through this long season of grief and discern where God is calling them in the future as they seek another pastor. We pray for the Central Rocky Mountain region as the search team has posted the job description for the next regional minister. Prayers for that process. Mike Ward shares from the Scoutmaster's blog, prayers for a specific concern. There's a high adventure camp in Minnesota out in the wilderness. A lot of canoeing happens there, rugged camping. You may have seen on the news there was a horrific windstorm in the area. A tree fell on a tent at the scout camp, killing one scout and one leader from Texas. Prayers of comfort for those families and for that troop. Our scouts are home safe from Buffalo Bill, and we rejoice in that. We also had two young men who were in Oregon for a week of scout camp. They're on their way home. Dylan competed in a three-phase rugged, I don't know, athlete triathlon, biking, running, swimming. You got to be healthier than I am to think about doing it sort of thing. Mike can give you the details. I don't know what it's called. But it sounded like a lot of work, and Dylan got third place. So that's terrific. We're also thankful that last Sunday morning, Amanda Dowler-Curlin safely crossed the finish line after 400 miles, 3 days plus, of the Cowboy Wyoming Adventure Race of biking and trekking and boating. And that's even with a boat falling apart while she was in it. So we are so impressed with Amanda and glad that she completed that challenge safely. There are challenges of a different kind facing many in our world. There continues to be the violence of shooting in the streets of American cities. A community in Germany this week was shocked by violence, and there were suicide bombings in Kabul, Afghanistan, that killed over 80 people and injured 200. We pray for peace in our world. At first service, there was someone who said, "It's an election year," and everyone groaned. And their prayer request was for wisdom for us as a nation as we choose our next leader. A very good prayer indeed. Are there other concerns this morning that we want to share? We have a long list of prayer today, but there is much to offer. Madison. Prayers for Veronica Turner for health concerns. Charles.
Prayers for safe travel. My great nephew is coming to visit. He'll be flying into Denver on Friday, and we will be coming back to Casper on Saturday by way of Mount Rushmore. It is the first of my relatives who has come to visit, so I'm very excited. And I'm even more excited because he's really excited. I just hear from his father and his grandfather, my brother, about that he just can't wait to get there. So he will be in church Sunday. His name is Seamus. And so I look forward to introducing him to you all.
Prayers of safe travels for Seamus, who's 13 and will be flying alone for the first time. Keith. In case you couldn't hear, Keith was sharing a prayer request from the Sandwich Ministry for Tano, who is looking for work, and the good news that Keith is sleeping thanks to new medication instead of 2 or 3 hours a night, 5 to 6 hours a night. So we are thankful for at least some rest as you continue with back issues. Anyone else today? Darlene. We praise God for evangelism efforts, for the good word that First Christian is a church that serves others in the community, and for the ways in which that attracts people to us. And we pray specifically for Darlene's friend's daughter as she may come and visit in the fall. We have many prayers to take to God today. Let us spend some time in silence, offering the Lord the prayers of our hearts. O God of grace and glory, You tell us that when we knock, you will open the door. So we come to you, God, knocking on heaven's gate with our prayers, our petitions, our shared thanksgiving, and our hopes for the world in which we live. Lord, we pray for your comfort for all who grieve, for Jean and Todd and their families. We pray for health, for all we have named and so many others. We pray for peace in a world where turmoil and violence are far too common. We pray for wisdom, for leaders at all levels of government, leaders in the church, and leaders in our families. Lord, we ask for safe travels, for scouts going to and from camp, for Seamus coming to visit family, for the Axworthys this morning as they drive to Colorado, for pastors from Casper going to Ring Lake, and for youth going to Orlando. Watch over all who journey and keep them safe. God, we also pray that you would watch over us as we journey through life. We pray for those who are on journeys of spiritual growth. We ask for your blessing with Tom Little and the missionary work he does in East Timor. We pray for Pastor Philip and the members of Village Christian Church in Colorado Springs. Holy Lord, for each and every concern we have shared today, those spoken aloud and those held in our hearts, we pray that you would hear our fervent pleas for healing and hope, for peace and patience, for strength of body and spirit. O God, draw near to your people as we pray. We know that you hear, and we thank you for answering. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's now time for communion. One of God's greatest gifts to us is in this table, because it's here that we find a place for every single person. No exceptions, no qualifications. God stands ready with bread and drink to nourish our bodies and our souls. Come to the feast. This summer we're taking communion by intinction, which means you come forward, the elders will serve you. If you're not able to, the diaconate will come and serve you. And our offering trays are also up front. Our hymn of communion is 349. My Jesus, I love thee.
Thank you.
As we come to the Lord's table, we remember that night long ago when Jesus met with his friends. And while they were together, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you to forgive your sin and the sins of many. Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God." Let us pray.
Father God, we do come to you this morning with hearts full of love for you, because you have first loved us and shown it, Lord, in countless ways, in the beautiful sunny skies of Wyoming, in this congregation, in the word you've given us, in the world around us, in the love of all those who love us, we see your face. You tell us in your word, Lord, that perfect love casts out fear. And it is your perfect love, Lord, on which we rely every day. As we take this bread and cup, Lord, perfect love in us. Perfect our love for you. Perfect our love for each other. Perfect our love for this world. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Gracious God, as citizens of your holy kingdom, everything that we have, we gladly pledge to you today. Our money, our possessions, our talent, and our time are yours. The entirety of our lives are holy and completely yours. Amen. Our special music today is by Amber, accompanied by Keith, right? Awesome.
Surprise.
We didn't know you had that talent.
Well, we'll find out, I guess, right?
Thank you.
consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe.
Today our scripture reading is from Psalms 85, pages 543 and 544. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You pardoned all their sin. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, so that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his faithful, to those who turn to him in their hearts. Surely his salvation is at hand for those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and will make a path for his steps.
Our New Testament reading today comes from Luke chapter 11. In your Pew Bible, New Testament, it's on page 72. Luke 11, verses 1 through 13. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And then Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, "Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he asks. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives. And everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Rouse family, or 50% of the Rouse family, for that wonderful gift of music today. Keith, we appreciate you being brave and playing bass guitar for the first time in front of our congregation. And Amber, it's nice to hear your cello again. One of the gifts of our church is the ability to share the gift of music and have that gift received. Thank you both. Will you pray with me? O Lord, thank you for teaching us about prayer. Thank you for listening when we pray. Thank you for your Holy Spirit nudging us to do it more often. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Prayer. It is one of the greatest of all Christian disciplines. And it is simultaneously easy and difficult. Truly, there's nothing more simple than prayer. Talking to God. Perhaps some of the best prayers we can give are just, "Help me, God," or "Thank you, God." It's easy. And yet, to pray fervently, daily, deeply, is not always easy to do. In the account we've heard from Luke, Jesus was praying in a certain place. We don't know where. It could have been at the edge of the Sea of Galilee or on the top of a mountain, in a garden, in a synagogue. Chances are, Jesus prayed all kinds of places. We're told at this point he was in a certain place. We are in a certain place today, and what a good place for prayer this is. This church building is sacred space, especially for those of us who call it home. And out of the church building, this sanctuary is a place where many of us feel close to God. I'm firmly convinced that there are specific places in the world where prayer is a little bit easier because it happens in those places more often. Part of what makes this space sacred for us isn't just that it's pretty, which it is, isn't just that we come here Sunday after Sunday and sit with folks we like in a comfortable pew, or that the temperature most weeks is pretty comfortable. What makes this a holy place in part is that people have prayed here year after year. It's almost as if some of the holiness of God has seeped out through the Holy Spirit, through each prayer that has been offered here again and again. So like Jesus, we go to a specific place to pray. Maybe sometimes that specific place is behind the steering wheel of your car when somebody pulls in front of you, right, at a red light, and you lay on the brake, and your prayer might sound like, "Thank you, God, I didn't just get in a wreck," or "Forgive me, God, for what I just said about that driver who can't hear me." It's a short, simple, quick prayer, but it's pretty specific. Maybe a specific place you pray is at the family dinner table, or over your morning cup of coffee, or at the edge of your bed at night. Certainly prayers are offered many times at a baby's crib and at the deathbed of a loved one. Jesus went to a specific place to pray, and while he was there, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." There's nothing quite like asking the master to guide your footsteps. And so Jesus taught the disciples and in turn us those beautiful words that we've come to know as the Lord's Prayer. They're recorded in different forms in each of the Gospels. The heart of the message is so familiar. Father, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. We're praying for God's will to be done in our lives. We're asking God to be in charge. Give us each day our daily bread. The model of prayer that Jesus gives us doesn't ask the Lord for filet mignon in our freezer to last a month. It asks only for bread for this day. And forgive us our sins. And remind us that we need to forgive others. Prayer. It is simple and hard at the same time. So when Jesus was asked in that specific place, at that specific moment in time, to teach his followers how to pray, the first thing he did was to give us these beautiful words, but he didn't stop there. He went on to tell stories that illustrate the nature of prayer. He said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend who shows up pounding at your door in the middle of the night. Now, at midnight, some of you might still be awake, flipping through channels on the TV, or you may have been in bed asleep for hours. But we get the point. Whether it's 12 o'clock on the clock or not, there comes a point in time in the middle of the night where all of us are sound asleep, the lights are turned off, the door is locked. What an inconvenient time at that point for someone to pound on your front door, or maybe to ring that cell phone that's sitting next to you on the nightstand. In a groggy voice, you say, 'Hello,' and it's your friend asking not for themselves, but for someone else, for 3 loaves of bread. It's a specific request in Jesus' story. It says a friend has come to visit this friend. Well, I wonder if it's only one person, why there's the need for 3 loaves of bread. And I wonder if instead perhaps a whole family had shown up on the doorstep of your friend in the middle of the night. Now, if it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you could say to your friend, 'Oh, just run down to Albertson's and take care of it yourself.' But obviously, that's not the example Jesus is giving. Jesus tells his disciples in this story that the first response, a pretty basic human response, is, "Don't bother me. Go away. I'm asleep." You hang up that cell phone and set it back down and roll over, and it rings again and again and again. And then you turn off the ringer, and it's set to vibrate, and it buzzes on the nightstand. And finally you say, "Okay, let me see if I've got some bread. I'll be there in a minute." Jesus says you're going to respond to this person's need, not because they're your friend, but because they are persistent. Jesus is teaching us about the nature of prayer, not just words to use, but a spirit of persistence. Have you ever had a prayer like that? That you pray over and over and over again. It's not the kind of prayer that you pray in your car when you're driving down the highway. That's a quick spur of the moment offering a prayer for an accident you drive by, and then you move on with your life. No, Jesus is talking about the kind of prayer that keeps us up at night, the kind of prayer that wakes you up at 3 a.m. because you're so worried. You so much need the peace of Christ with you that you can't even sleep. And you pray that prayer over and over, night after night. It's the kind of prayer a mother offers when her child is sick. It's the kind of prayer a son offers when his father dies and he's overwhelmed with grief. A prayer that you can't just utter once and be done with it, but that comes back again and again and again. So Jesus tells the story of being persistent in prayer and then offers the assurance, I say to you, ask and it will be given. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. I wonder if that point in the conversation, Jesus saw a look of perhaps a little doubt on his friends' faces. Maybe there was someone there who had had that kind of prayer, who had asked God over and over and over for something and hadn't gotten it. So they were a little skeptical when Jesus said, be persistent in prayer and you'll get your answer. So he continues on with this rather ludicrous example. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Well, no, of course not. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? You gotta be kidding, right? My sister is actually an aficionado at eating snake. I've never tried it myself. But years ago, when she was in high school, Debbie did a Girl Scout survival camp. The small group of girls was on an island in the middle of Lake Michigan. And on the side of the island where Debbie's group was, the only protein they could find was snakes. There was another group of girls on the other side of the island. They were able to catch fish. That was great. Another group, they set a snare and they had a rabbit. Debbie's group ate snakes. She learned how to trap them and skin them and roast them over a fire. But I think even today, if my sister said to my dad, can we have fish for supper? You can bet there would be salmon or catfish or trout on the table, or if nothing else, I don't know, frozen fish tater tot pieces that he stuck in the oven. I know for certain he would not give her a snake. If your kid asks you for an egg, you're probably going to say, hooray, they want an egg for breakfast instead of Fruit Loops or Sugar Crisp cereal. You're getting an egg. You got it. How do you want it cooked? If your child asks for an egg, you're not going to give him a scorpion. Now, I have to share the caveat. This week, I was flipping channels on the TV, and I came across on the Food Network, a program called Ice Cream Nation. And there's a guy who has a funky little ice cream stand on the East Coast. And as a promotion deal, he's always coming up with wackadoodle flavors. And he served up an ice cream cone with a real scorpion right on top, a little tiny baby one fried up crispy. I think aside from advertising promotion ice cream geniuses, my guess is no one that I know who lives in our cultural context where scorpions are not usually considered food would give their kid a scorpion for breakfast. So Jesus says, if your earthly parents, who don't always get it right, actually take care of your needs in this way, how much more will our heavenly parent answer when we ask. There are times when the persistence of prayer lasts for generations. In 1921, 95 years ago, a group of people were led by God to found First Christian Church. If they could travel through time and be here with us today and look around, I think they would see prayer answered. Out in the narthex, there's a case that has memorial books in it. You can lift the lid and flip through those memorial books sometime. It's interesting to see the roster of names of those who've gone before us in this place. This week, I spent a fair amount of time with Todd Shaw and his family planning for his dad's service. And I heard stories about former members of our congregation, Margaret Shaw and Burr Clark Shaw were members here at First Christian Church. I didn't know Margaret. She went to heaven before my time. But just from what I've read, it's apparent to me that Margaret wanted her boys to grow up at First Christian Church. I would not be surprised if Margaret prayed that her boys, Bernard and Melvin Neal Shaw, would come to First Christian Church. In 1944, Mel was 9 years old, and First Christian worshiped in the old little tabernacle over Grant and Lind Street. He received his Bible. And a year later, Reverend Neal, in 1945, baptized Mel Shaw. And a mother's prayer was answered, at least in part. When you look through that memorial book, you'll find the name Margaret Shaw. One of the places where it's written indicates that she made a memorial gift for her son, Bernard Shaw Jr. The page doesn't have a date or any details. It simply says that this mother, in memory of her son, gave a silver cross for the communion table. I don't know if it was this cross. There's also another silver cross on the communion table in the inner room. But that mother who was praying for her sons put her prayer into action when her boy went to heaven before she did. To be honest, it was a little harder for Mel to follow in his mom's footsteps. He was raised during the Great Depression at a time when a lot of families had kind of a hard model of parenting. Even just the words, "I love you," wasn't something that every family heard real often. And Mel longed for love. His family shared with me that he married and divorced the same woman twice. He tried to make it work, but it broke his heart when Mel and his son Todd moved to Oregon to follow a job, and his ex-wife and two daughters stayed here in Casper. It's interesting that sometimes prayers take generations to answer. You see, when Mel was a boy, he came to church because he had to. That's what Todd told me. His dad grew up really not wanting much to do with church. He believed in God, okay, but Todd has found his way back home to First Christian Church, to the church of his family. His grandmother's name, Margaret, is now on our memorial plaque because a memorial was given in honor of her. Margaret's prayer that her boys would grow up and know God in First Christian Church. Margaret's prayer is being answered in the life of her grandson, Todd. No wonder we have to be persistent when we pray. Sometimes our prayers are so big and so important that they get answered two or three or four generations later. Kind of like a church that prays about a leak in a ceiling and decides to do something about it. It is amazing to me that today we are launching a campaign to raise $180,000 to fix a roof and a parking lot. And my friends, we're already halfway there. Praise God. Talk about answered prayer before the journey even starts. I was discussing with a clergy colleague this week that we were launching a capital campaign this morning. And he said, "I'm sorry." And he told me about the time early in his ministry he served a church that wanted to have a capital campaign. And he said, "Okay." And he put in his papers and left. I can't believe that I have friends who pray for a church that'll never have to raise money. There have been so many meetings and prayers and consultation with numbers and bids with contractors in the last 2 months. You cannot imagine how many hours Cal Decker has been around this building. It is astounding. I have to tell you, that man is excited about being our property chair. And it is profound to talk with him because for Cal, it is a spiritual experience. He is able to use a lifetime of skill and wisdom as a professional contractor to help the church that he loves. In his retirement, when he has time to give it, his church is in need, and here he is. He comes and he climbs up on the roof and he walks around and he looks at ductwork and he says, "There's a gap right here where water goes in. No wonder it leaks way down there someplace and we can't figure out why." And then he comes down and walks into the sanctuary and sits here and prays. The reason this capital campaign is going to succeed is because it's an answer to prayer. I have to share one last story. This week, Tom Daller stopped in my office, and we talked quickly about capital campaign, and we then were setting another time to meet with Paul when we could talk more about the capital campaign. And you would think in a conversation like that, that the chair of the financial stewardship would say, "Let's look at the numbers," and the pastor gal would say, "Let's pray about it." When Tom came into my office, he said, "We need to pray about this campaign." And I knew at that moment it will succeed. My friends, I ask you to pray for the future of First Christian Church. And then let God use you to be an answer to your own prayer. Amen and amen. Our hymn of invitation today is number 434. If there's anyone here this morning who's looking for a church home or who is moved to give your heart to God in a new and true way, to ask Jesus into your life, we would invite you to come forward. After the end of worship today, Tom Daller will be down in Fellowship Hall. There's coffee and refreshments there for time of visiting. And if you have questions about the finances of the capital campaign, please feel free to talk with Tom, ask him anything. Other members of our stewardship commission are here. The board has unanimously approved this campaign, and they are so excited and hopeful. Next Sunday, during the Sunday school hour, about 9:15, Cal Decker will be with us and will give a detailed presentation, including slides, down at Fellowship Hall. Let us stand and sing together, God Be With You, number 434. Verse 2, and then we'll end. Hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. Oh God, we know indeed you are with us until we meet again. Whether we see each other in ministry during the week or not until next Sunday, you are with us. Whether we stay here in Casper or travel all the way to Florida and back, you are with us. Oh God, for those that we will meet again in heaven, we pray your blessing. For those who have gone before us in this place, we give thanks. And for those who will come after here to share in your bright future, we pray abundant blessings. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.